Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Well, today is the second day of the season of Advent. Yesterday was the first Sunday in Advent, and actually, it's the first day of the Christian year. So, Happy New Year. The Christian year gives us a different rhythm to live into, and this week, throughout our last week of chapels for the semester, we're going to invite you to enter into the season of Advent. Advent is a season of longing and expectation. We remember Israel waiting and longing for the promised Messiah, and we wait, waiting for the day that that Messiah, Jesus Christ, will come again to set all things right. Now, in Advent, we do some things a little differently. In churches, you might see people wearing purple. That's common in Advent. You might hear some particular songs like, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus. Advent is a time when we sing songs we don't sing the rest of the year. And part of that cues in to a tradition that we find in the beginning of Luke. Luke, in the first two chapters, Luke has the longest of the birth narratives, and Luke, in his first two chapters, records three songs. These are called canticles. These three songs are people's responses or excitement or longing about the news of the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. There's the song of Mary, the song of Zechariah, and the song of Simeon. And this week in chapel, we will look at each of those songs and ask together with it, to whom is Jesus coming? So today we begin with the song of Mary.
So I want to help give you a sense of the longing and the waiting that the Jews felt. I want to give you a sense of the environment out of which Mary sang this song. So the Jews in the years before Jesus' birth were tired, they were discouraged, they didn't feel like they had any power because they didn't govern over themselves. Rome ruled over the Jews. They were taxed at really high rates. Roman soldiers patrolled their streets and generally just stifled daily life for the Jews. Ages and ages before, God had promised them that he would send a Messiah who would come and would rescue them from the oppression that they suffered. And then here it was, ages later, in the years before Jesus' birth, and they were still waiting for this Messiah. The Jews felt powerless, they were lowly, and they were longing for someone to come and set things right. Among the lowliest were young women. They didn't have the power that a man would have had, and they didn't have a husband who would have even elevated their social standing anymore. They were nothing. Young women were nothing. They were powerless and lowly. And more than almost anyone, they were longing and waiting and praying for someone to come and set things right. And so you can imagine why it is that Mary bursts into song when the angel comes to her and tells her that God is sending his Messiah through her, in her, and for her. All of her years of waiting and longing, of feeling powerless and downtrodden, all of that is suddenly transformed into joy and comes out of her in a song.
So Mary sings these words. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. "Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You can hear in that God coming to powerless, lowly Mary, sending his Messiah to her to set things right. One of the answers to the question that Dan posed at the beginning, to whom is Jesus coming, is the lowly. Jesus comes to the lowly. Jesus comes to set the captives free, to give sight to the blind. He comes to lift the poor out of the ash heap and make them sit with princes. He comes to care for the orphan and the widow. He comes to be on the side of the least of these. Jesus comes to the lowly. And Jesus invites us to come too.
It was my sophomore year when I was in college when I first started to see this thread in Scripture, that Jesus comes to the lowly and cares for them and calls us to follow him in serving and caring for the poor and least of these. So, being energetic, my first thought was I should drop out of school and move down and work at a ministry that I knew cared for these issues and worked really hard. But I had a couple mentors come alongside me and remind me that Jesus calls all of us in all of our capacities and all of our talents, desires, passions to follow him and serve and to join with him in mission. God calls us in this season to prepare. You see, God, in wanting you to join in with him, is calling you in this season to develop and to be formed into thoughtful and deep people that can come alongside and help. So what that might mean is, if you're studying biology, study really hard. And then maybe someday you can look at water and see what it is that contaminates it and how we could treat it, helping the lowly. If you're studying business or economics, study really hard. Work on those papers and tests that are coming up. I know this is a hard time of year, but study so that you can enter into the business world and work with business practices that don't exploit the needy and the lowly, but actually benefit them. If you're studying art or music, take the time to practice hard and study and learn the great artists and composers of the past so that you can help bring beauty into a hurting world. God calls all of us to come alongside and serve. And God calls us in the fullness of our capacities. In this season of Advent, we remember the waiting of the lowly and the needy who waited for the promised Messiah, Jesus. But in this season of Advent, we also wait. We wait for that day when Jesus will come back and set wrong every right, when Jesus will wipe every tear from our eyes, when there will no longer be typhoons or earthquakes, where there will no longer be breadlines or need for social service agencies. We wait for that day. And in this time, we prepare ourselves in order that we might join in with the work and bear witness to the reconciliation and mercy that is found only in him, and that our work might be a foretaste of that great day of which we wait. So in this season of Advent, We remember that Jesus comes to us, but also to the lowly. And Jesus calls us in all of our fullness, in all of our capacities, with all of our strength, with all of our minds, and with all of our hearts, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen? Let me pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we enter into this season of Advent remembering the waiting that happened millennia before us. But we also wait now, knowing that we need you, Lord. We need a Savior who can come alongside us. We need a God who is powerful enough to set right the wrongs. We trust and we love you, and we know that you, Lord, have not left us to ourselves. But we know that at the end of the season of Advent, there is Christmas, the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. We pray all of these things in your gracious name. Amen.